Okay. Hello, internet. We're the up, up, down, down to your left, right, left, right. So let's BA and start this thing. I'm Donovan.
I'm Wes.
And I'm Alex.
And this is the Making Geeks podcast, episode number, I don't know, 138.
That's right.
Ha.
Good job.
I was about to say seven, but then I stopped myself. Cool.
Wait, there's an Alex now?
There is an Alex. We have a special guest tonight. Alex from Bevelish Creations is gladly, happily, hopefully joining us.
Reluctantly.
Because we are actually down two cohorts. So we need somebody to fill in, and he happily said yes.
Yeah.
It's happily right now. We'll see how it goes.
I know. Things could change over the course of, you know, the next hour.
You guys might not be happy to have me.
Judging by your background, I'm already happy. So, yeah, on the live stream, he's got a bunch of Funko Pop figures, and he's got posters of various geek
subject matter. It's a mess down here right now. Oh, so,
some good hands. Yep. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, cool. What have you guys been up to?
I've been messing with my resin 3D printer a lot lately. I don't know if you saw on my recent posts, but I've been printing really tiny things. I don't even think my camera will focus on it. So a common benchmark for 3D printers is printing this little tugboat model. And they're typically as big as like an orange or something. And I've printed these so small, they're like as big as your like a thumb fingernail. But it has all the detail that the big one normally has. It's kind of insane. So I did a couple posts on that on Instagram, just kind of learning the process. And then I printed a tiny, tiny little castle, which you can't see in the video because it won't focus that little. But there's like tons of railings with holes in them all the way around. It's pretty nuts.
That's pretty cool.
And several people ask me what I'm planning on using it for. Well, that's not my problem, but it's fun. Maybe some figurines or something. I don't know, but
so is that the kind of printer that you make like custom Warhammer figures or
exactly. Yep.
It's not something you like Josh where you 3D print a hubcap or something or, that you need around the shop. It's not for that.
No, you could print a hubcap for like a matchbox car. That would be appropriate, but that's probably the largest vehicle scale you'd want. The build plate's pretty small. It's about as big as like a big iPhone, as far as like, X and Y dimensions, and it can get maybe as tall as an iPhone. So it's a pretty good little build volume, for what it is. I mean, it's like on one of the cheaper resin printers out there. It retails for about $500, whereas like typically they usually start around like $1,500, $2,000 for resin based 3D printers, just because they're kind of on the newer end and a lot of the materials and stuff are a little more expensive, like the resins and stuff versus like normal filament. But it's keeping me distracted from other things I need to be doing.
So, like, how much do you spend on materials, like the resin?
I'm still on the introductory, like, bottle. I think it's, like, 500 milliliters for $25.
Okay.
And I can't really tell you how many, like, little tugboats I can produce out of that. Right. But I don't really have a sense of scale on that yet. But I emptied the entire bottle in there. I don't know. I'll let you know next week when I'm printed as many castles as I'm willing to look at, but from what I understand, it's not as economical as like 3D printing, like normal, like filament, like spools.
Okay.
And then they have ones that have different properties, like flexible and like more rigid, just like traditional filament as well. It's just more, it's a lot messier, the process. So it's like covered in yucky smelling resin when it's done, and you have to like put in different alcohol baths and like wash it and scrub it. And so it's a little more involved to get the piece in a finished state. But it's sort of a trade off for the detail you can get. So,
right. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, thanks.
So is that going to be something that you print, like, solo pieces, or are you going to print pieces that you're going to integrate into other things?
I've got a project in mind for it. I didn't have it in mind when I bought the thing, but it's my only justification for owning it at this point. It involves some Avengers figurines that I'm going to like repurpose and reposition in different poses. That would make sense for the project. But I need some like faces. Like I need Spider-Man without his mask on. And so I'm looking online for a...
like a 3D model?
A 3D model of the actor without his mask on. And I've tried looking for other figurines with his face exposed. And I might be able to do like a photogrammetry, like scan, to get that model in the computer, but that's more work than I'm willing to put into it at this point. I would like to just be able to find a model, or maybe I can purchase one, because there's several like places you can get them. Like digital artists will make them and stuff if you can't get them for free.
Have you looked at like Hot Toys, I think it's called? It's like a Hong Kong based model. Yeah.
Okay. Their stuff is pretty insane.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like digital
life-like
models or like actual like figurines?
Oh, no, it's,
or...
it's actual figurines. So yeah. You actually want digital models. So.
Yeah, like if I can get a cheap figurine, I don't want to spend like $50 or more on, obviously those higher end figures can cost a lot. If I needed to do like a scan to get the data out of it. So I was looking for like something off of like eBay or Target or something like that. But I think I missed that window of those figures being popular at the moment, since, you know, maybe when Spider-Man Homecoming comes out, I'll be able to find them again. But I didn't want to quite wait that long unless I had to. But I thought the idea was sound. I'm not afraid of divulging it. It's not that good of an idea, I guess. So I've got a set of Avengers figures that it's like a couple of different ones, but I want to position Iron Man and Spider-Man in the pose like they were at the end of the first Avengers movie. Spoiler alert. So when he's like dematerializing in Tony Stark's arms, I want to recreate that scene and have Thanos behind them. And then they're... the figurines are small enough they would fit like on half a sheet of paper. And I have a dome I want to put over it and have like a snow globe effect, but instead of white particles, it'll be black particles.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it'll be kind of dark. I thought that would be pretty hilarious. And I was thinking of the base that I could make. Maybe something wooden or whatever. I'm not sure if it'll actually have liquid in. It might just be a fan blowing the particles around, since I don't have to worry about sealing it and all that stuff. But I was thinking it would be kind of neat also to do like the Infinity Gauntlet, like holding the globe.
Oh yeah,
as well. That would look cool.
Wow, that's gonna be cool.
Yeah, it's ambitious. I don't know if I'll be able to get it to look the way I'm envisioning, but with this printer, it'll help a lot. I'll be able to maybe reproduce some stuff that I wouldn't be able to get otherwise. So that's the plan. We'll see. I've said it here first. Gotta hold me to it.
That's going to be cool.
What have you guys been up to?
For me, I've been finishing up this, couple nightstands and, trying out some, traditional joinery, I guess. Some bridal joints on it, and it's kind of a modern nightstand with some angled legs. I don't know how strong it's gonna be yet. In my head, it's gonna come out pretty cool, but I don't know yet. We'll see, I guess. And then I'm also, I guess for me, it's a little bit ambitious since I never used these softwares before, but I want to make a large Westeros map. From Game of Thrones, since Game of Thrones is starting back up in April, I want to make a carved map topology, I think. Wow. It's called, right?
Yep.
I found some images of the maps online, so I want to use Illustrator, and I asked Donovan previously how to use it. Like, do I need Illustrator, or can I use Photoshop? yeah, so I guess I'm going to try out Illustrator, and then I'm going to try out some, teach myself how to use Fusion 360. Yeah, I don't know. And I'm
planning on CNCing the layers?
Yeah. I'm going to try to draw in some like mountain ranges and things like that.
Nice.
We'll see how that comes out. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, are you going to do like epoxy pours for like the water elements and things
actually,
like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Is this intended to be like a coffee table kind of thing that's covered? No, or what is your end result?
I'm thinking maybe like a 24 inch by 40 inch size thing. No, like just something to hang up on the wall.
Oh, okay.
Like nice. Next to my TV.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't. I just think it'd be pretty cool. I have no idea how I'm going to do it yet, or if it's going to come out.
Those are the best projects, though. You have to. Most people think like they say start small, but I always start in my head big, and whittle from there. Like, what's the point otherwise, right?
Yeah,
exactly. You gotta challenge yourself.
Yeah.
Man, that is cool. I didn't know that's what you were talking about when you were asking questions about like Illustrator and Photoshop and whatnot. Man, that's tough.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the biggest part, I think, would be just making sure you have vectors for everything so that you can go in and, like, change. Because you can, like, then take the vector into Fusion and then get your, you know, height and elements for the mountains and things like that.
Yeah, for the mountains, I'm actually thinking of... Because I think on National Geographic website, they have like topology of different states of the U.S. I'm thinking I can just like copy and paste like different regions and just copy those into whatever file I have in Fusion. I don't know if that's going to work.
That's cool.
We shall see. Yeah, we shall see. Wes is over there like, that's not going to work.
I don't know. That's a good one. That's a good project.
Yeah.
There's a lot of layers to that, like figuratively and literally.
Yeah, whenever I think of a project, and I'm like, okay, I got to learn this, I got to learn that, but that's kind of what motivates me to want to learn those new techniques instead of just say, okay, I just want to learn this, and I have no plans for what I want to use it for. So
just got to dive in. Yep.
Yeah. Who knows if it's anything like your Harry Potter shelves. Yeah,
that was...
It might be something that people would be like, hey, I want that.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That was my first time using epoxy. And yeah, it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, it did. How many have you been commissioned so far to make?
13.
13.
Nice.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I've been super busy. And part of the reason why, last time you asked me on the podcast, I was like, yeah, man, I'm dying over here. And I have, my day job's one of those, like, it's not a 9-to-5 sort of thing. Sometimes I work like 12 hours a day, and then I have to finish these things when I come home, and it's still try to keep up a schedule with my YouTube post. Yeah, so I was like, not in a good place.
Wow. That is cool.
Yeah.
For me, last week I finished up the Spider-Man headphone stand, released the video for that. I was going to do the Takeaway Tuesday video where I talked about it and answered people's questions that they sent me on Instagram, but then I got sick. And so I didn't want to be all sick sounding on the video, so I decided to postpone that until next Tuesday. And in the meantime, I am taking part in the Art of Geek Challenge for this month, and the theme is Futurama. And so I decided to do like a wall art piece. It's 24 inches by 24 inches, and it's the Vault Boy from Fallout as Fry holding a can of Slurm instead of Nuka-Cola. So I got I traced all the vectors and everything I need for that a couple days ago, and then I got everything printed out, and then this afternoon I took all those printouts and attached them to some contact paper, and starting tomorrow I'll be cutting all of these, you know, layers of this this wall art out. So that video should be up by next Friday. Hopefully the project will be done by the 31st, which is in 3 days, because that's when the end of the challenge is. But regardless of when the project is done, the video for it will be out next Friday. So that's what I've been working on. And trying to figure out what my next project after that is, because I think I'm going to try something big, or I might do something small. I don't know. I haven't decided.
Could be everything.
Yeah. Well, like, the problem with me is that I have this huge list and notebook full of, like, sketches and ideas and designs and all this other kind of stuff for projects that I want to do. Yeah. And I try to have some semblance of a schedule for, hey, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And then, but then, ultimately, what ends up happening is, in between Project A and Project B, I get this, like, idea that I'm like, oh, I need to do this, and I need to do this now.
They shoehorned it in, yeah.
Yeah, so there's all these projects that end up getting shoehorned in to my regular schedule of projects. And so I talked to Wes about this last week. I have this shirt that has a Game Boy on it, little, you know, outline of a Game Boy that says my original homeboy. And I was brushing my teeth the other week, and I was looking at it, and I was thinking about bar top arcades, because I really want to make some kind of version of a bar top arcade. And as I was brushing my teeth, I was looking at the Game Boy, and I'm like, what if I made a bar top arcade that looked like a Game Boy? And like the start and select buttons could be the controllers, the wireless controllers, and you take them out and you could play on the Game Boy screen, and you'd be at this bar top arcade, and it could look like a Game Boy. This could be so cool. I need to do this. and so, just like has happened before, that idea is probably going to be shoehorned into my next project. So that's probably what I'm going to be working on after I finish up my my Vault Boy slurm piece. Unless I get another idea for something that might be shoehorned in before that. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Do you guys work on several projects at once or one at a time?
For me, typically, I tend to have 2 to 3 projects going on at the same time in some semblance of development. Because with my projects, there's a lot of pre-production that needs to happen, especially with, I do a lot of work in Inkscape and, you know, drawing things out and, you know, vectors and layers and whatnot. And so typically I'm working on the pre-production of one project while I am, you know, gathering materials and trying to figure out, you know, what wood I need or what materials I need for the other project that I'm working on. At the same time, I'm typically finishing up another project.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah, it's, yeah, same here. Typically, that's how I am too. Like, by the time I've already put one video out on YouTube, I'm probably almost done with the next project. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm trying to spend more time with the baby. So I'm trying to slow down that schedule that I set for myself previously. Yeah. It was just one of those things where I was working too much in the shop that I was like coming in really late, and yeah, so I'm trying to be a better dad.
So for those aren't familiar with your brand and your name and whatnot, how would you describe your channel? Like, explain what you do for those out there.
Yeah, so it's really hard, because when I first started out, I wanted to build furniture, like large mid-century modern type furniture. And then the more I got into it, the more I'm like, oh, I really like Harry Potter or video games and things like that. I want to build this thing from this IP, you know, that thing from this IP. And so I feel like I'm doing a little bit of everything, or trying to. So it's either furniture or decor. So that can be the Harry Potter shelf, or that Game of Thrones map I just mentioned I want to do. To now I'm doing some shop project too, because I got so many things going on that my shop is a mess. Like, I'm tripping over myself in there.
But it's typically like woodworking projects, right? For those that are interested in checking out. Okay.
Yeah. And I want to inspire people. Because when I first started out, like, it's not really the instructional videos that inspired me. It was more like just seeing what people were making, and that inspired me to really want to try it myself, and I kind of want to do that for my audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
your most recent video has kind of taken off compared to your previous ones, hasn't it? The paper tray.
that was not expected, because I just came back from a trip in China for like, I was gone for about three some weeks, and I was like, oh, I came back, I had no videos, I have nothing to upload, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna make something quick, like something small. So I made that. It was a little more involved than I expected, but you know, I put it up, and I didn't expect anything. I was sharing it on Reddit like I normally did,
right?
And it was on the DIY subreddit, so that normally, they take a day to like review it and then give you permission. Yeah, so I didn't even realize that they said okay to it, and then suddenly I was in a meeting at work and my phone just started keep going off, keep vibrating, and I opened it, I was like 50 Reddit messages, so I started looking at it, and it just kept, it got really popular, and it got pushed to the front page of the subreddit.
That's awesome.
And then it started tapering off a little bit, and then suddenly it started up again. And I was like, what is going on? I thought maybe it was because Reddit was it was still on the, you know, top thing of the week. But then people started telling me that YouTube started sharing it with people.
Nice.
And so now it's just like just keep going.
It's cool.
Yeah,
a lot of people I think don't post or don't really appreciate like the value of Reddit. Like a lot of people get kind of discouraged from it, because it can be tricky to, based on your subreddit that you're putting it into, like to meet their recommendations and their like, kind of guidelines. And I know a lot of people get really frustrated with different people's rules and everything, and trying to manage like what goes where, and it can be kind of confusing.
You have to have
a lot of people,
nine posts in between,
right? Like self promotion like guidelines self-promotion and all that stuff. Yeah. It can be.
You have to be such and such a level, and
I've been telling Donovan, like, if you just push through that and just actually kind of get more regular at doing it, the benefits can be crazy if it just hits just right, you know.
Yeah, I mean Reddit's a great place if you just want to get views. I talked to
you say that.
Well, I mean, I talked
Reddit
to
can be a great place.
It can be, but you also have to have thick skin to be posting on Reddit.
That was my next thing, yeah.
You could get ripped apart for no reason. I talked to a couple of other YouTubers, and they said, Reddit's a great place for you to get a bunch of views, but you know the quality of the views are probably not good. People will click in and close out like really fast. But in the beginning, it's good to have... to use that to basically grow your subscribers, to get your name out there. But once you get to a certain number of subscribers, you want to kind of stay away from it, just because there's so many people just clicking in and clicking out that it hurts your view time on YouTube.
I've also found, like, in the couple that I've done on there, as far as project videos, that a lot of news outlets use Reddit as like a source to get like the latest hot thing. And so for my Mario Kart video, like I started getting picked up by all the gaming blogs and like Kotaku and you know all those kinds of things that normally if I would have submitted individually, they wouldn't have, you know, given me any attention. But then like Hackaday started doing it, and just like all these other techie kind of gaming blogs use that as like the source, and it sort of each, you know, one has their own following as well, you know, and like Polygon and all these other ones started going crazy with it. So you never know like how it can develop. I started getting like phone calls from like I got phone calls from I got a phone interview with ABC News, like for their website.
What?
Yeah, it was nuts.
Is this for the nursery, right?
For the nursery, yeah.
Okay.
It showed up on some like NBC affiliate in like Alabama. They did like mentioned it on air. So I found it like randomly, and they're like, "This is a new video from Geek Smithing about some Mario Kart, this and that." And it was just hilarious to hear them like describe it. And it just sort of like snowballed. It was pretty nuts for like a week. But wow. Yeah, it all started with Reddit. I just posted it on there, and it kind of did its thing. So yeah, you never know. Yeah. It's definitely worth trying.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no harm in trying, Donovan.
I know. Donovan, well, Donovan. It's like I did that for all of my projects up to, I think, the last two videos I haven't posted on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And for the Spider, I was really hoping the Spider-Man headphone stand would be the project that, like, okay, this is the one that, you know, is finally going to get attention. And so, like, every geek, I think there was, like, 79 different geek blogs. I love this like list that I've kept ever since I started making YouTube videos of like the blogs that I will submit. What do they call them? Like suggestions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I went through all that list. I contacted Sony Animation, the three directors of the Spider-Verse movie, the head of character animation, the lead animator.
Wow.
I went down the list. Like, I was just, napalmed. I watched the movie, and then, you know, at the end where all those names are going by, I'm like, okay, this is, I need to find out how to contact this guy and this guy. And I sent out so many emails and messages to people sharing the Spider-Man headstand, thinking it's like, this is it. This is gonna be the one.
Yeah, you went way past what I do for just posting on Reddit.
The problem is, like, apparently, I'm doing it the hard way, because that is my way, apparently. But, that being said, the lead character animator from Sony got back to me, because he thought the project was really cool.
Nice.
That's all he said. Cool. It's like, hey, he knows who I am. That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
It doesn't have very many views. I think I finally hit 1,000. So, yay!
Yeah, and like you got on that email from Instructables.
Exactly, first one, dude. Like, bam.
Yeah. But once I opened that email, I was like, I know that guy.
Right.
The funny thing about Instructables is the fact that it's like people that read the Instructables don't watch the video. Like, I can track and I can see how many people have read the Instructables, and then I can track my analytics on YouTube to see where the traffic source for my videos have come from. And the conversion rate from Instructables is so minute. Like, I think it's like 1 in 10, like, actually watch the video, which is still fine. Like, it's still, you know, building a brand and all this other kind of stuff. And Instructables seems to like my style of projects because they've featured everything that I've made. But that being said, I was hoping for more of a conversion, and it just didn't happen.
Well, you know what your problem is? You write too well. People just don't want to watch the video. They can get they can get all the information from your writing, right?
Yeah. It was also my hope that like somebody would make one. Because I do upload the files for everything that I do to Patreon.
Okay.
And I was hoping that somebody would, like, make one. I have this fantasy that I've shared with Wes that we can get to the point where we have patches, like maker patches. And so when we put a project out, we'll have, like, a patch that's associated with the project.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody that makes that project sends like a picture and said, hey, I made a Spider-Man headphone stand or a Mario Kart nursery or, you know, something. And then we'll send them a patch.
Like, I used the coping saw for 17 hours straight or something.
You've upgraded your coping saw skills. Here's a patch. But I thought it would be a fun way of community building around the projects that we make as, you know, geeks, as makers, you know, whatever. Yeah. One day I'm going to do that.
And I keep thinking about it like every week. I think about
patches.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be so cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
need to have more of a participative audience to be able to pull something like that off.
Yeah, for sure.
So where are you located at?
I am in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Where are you? Where are you?
I'm in North Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. About Donovan, I think you mentioned it before. I don't remember.
In the Tulsa, Oklahoma area.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you were mentioning that you miss winter and all the snow.
I know. It's starting to get hot in the days now, like 70s and 80s. And I'm just like, just sweating. I'm just miserable. I wish I was built for hot weather. I really do. I really do. But I'm not.
Yeah, I hate hot weather too. I hate sweating. Like in the winter, you're cold. You can wear whatever. You can keep adding layers. You stay warm. But man, yeah, summer I hate.
Yeah,
I hate.
And when it's hot, you can strip down naked and still be miserable.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're from China. Yeah. What part of China are you from?
I was born in Beijing. I lived there till I was almost nine, and then came to the U.S. And then I went back to China basically every summer since then for like 3 months at a time.
Yeah.
And then even now I basically try to go back every year, like once or twice. Yeah. Most of my family's still over there. So yeah.
Yeah. So you've experienced winters.
Yeah.
'Cause Beijing does get pretty, I wouldn't say like really cold, but like cold winters.
Yeah, it's like cold and dry, and it's got this like you're getting punched in the face by the wind sort of feeling. Yeah, it's cold there. Yeah, and it's so dry that I can't even explain it. Like your nose just it hurts. It hurts to breathe. Even
you
when
breathe
you're
in
inside. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just want to shove like chapstick tubes up your nose. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely need chapsticks when you go there.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm from Montana, up in the very top of the mountains, right by the Canadian border, and it is dry there. Like, I had no idea what humidity was until I got a job at working at Disney. And so I flew down to Orlando, and I still remember that moment walking out of the airport and the doors open and, like, humidity just hit me and I'm like, oh, what is this? I don't like this. I don't know what this is, but I don't like, and I tried to walk outside again. I was like, oh, what is, I don't understand. Was my body like had never experienced that before. So it was like this weird sensation, like of experiencing something new. And your body's like, what is going on? What is going on? I don't understand what's going on. What is this? And it was me experiencing humidity. And my body was like, no, I don't.
It's like swimming through air. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know that feeling.
It was so dense.
Even now when I go to Florida, I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, like, I was there for a year and kind of got used to the heat and humidity. And then I moved to Utah and was there for a year, and it's really dry there. And then I moved over to Taiwan, which is like
very humid,
an island which is like 100% humidity all the time, and it's so hot there. It's right on the Tropic of Cancer, and like it's just, I mean, it's hot. And so I got there in February, and so it was like middle of winter for them, and everybody is running around with these huge puffy coats and like these huge hats, and I'm walking around with like short sleeves, you know, and pants on, and like, Why is everybody dressed up like it's cold outside? Because it was only maybe in the 60s. Like, it was not cold. I mean, for me, it was not cold. But then I spent an entire summer there with 120-degree weather and 100% humidity and just getting used to it. And so the next winter, when it came back around, the temperature dropped down in the 70s and 60s. I'm like, holy crap, it's cold. What is going on? And I was, again, and I was one of those guys who was like all bundled up at 70 degrees because I'm like, I'm cold. Yeah, it was terrible.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Cool. So, here on the Making Geeks podcast, we're the podcast for makers and dads and geeks. We kind of talked about you being a maker. What about being a dad? You want to tell your dad story?
I don't know. What kind of story? Because
how many humans are you responsible for?
Huh?
How many humans are you responsible for?
Just one right now. he's 8 months old, and I mean, he's during the day, he's super happy, laughs at everything. But at night, only wants mommy, cries. Like, even if we're just, like, we put him in this little jumper thing, like, it's like, I don't know what you call it. Like, you put him in, and he just, like, jumps in it. And if we just walk away, like, we're not even out of his sight, he'll, like, start frowning. Yeah, he's, like, super needy right now. And I don't know if he's teething or in his growth spurt. I don't know. Yeah, we're, like, frustrated. Yeah, we're going to start up with sleep training again soon, and we're going to see how that goes.
It's wonderfully terrible.
Yeah, I mean, like, on Amazon, when we bought the book, people were like, oh, in 3 days, like, it just worked. Everything was perfect. And then, like, after 2 days, like, first 2 days was great for us. It was like, oh, we can see this, you know, getting better. But then third day, it just, like, won't stop crying. And then over the weekend we went to IKEA. We went to IKEA, and we bumped into one of my wife's friends who just had a baby. Well, I think their kid is 2 years old now, and they said that it took her 2 months of sleep training to get to the point where she can just fall asleep on her own. So that was, like, encouraging. We're like, okay, so our baby's not broken. We're gonna give this another shot.
You have to be more stubborn than they are.
Yeah,
which is tough when you're, like, sleep deprived as well.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, the next day we hear his voice all, like, crackling. And, yeah, I was just like, oh, I don't want to do this. But yeah, we're gonna start it up again. Try for 2 months this time.
Jayo.
yeah, I need it.
Man, yeah, I yeah, sleep training is, like I said, it's horribly wonderful. Cuz once they're trained, you can, like, it's, you can get them to the point where they actually know when it's bedtime and they can go to sleep, and they sleep, and you're like, "Yes, I can finally get to sleep." This is so fantastic.
How long did it take your kids?
Oh, man. I don't think we did it right for the first one. She was a co-sleeper for a long time.
Yeah.
And she would just... She was very... Because my oldest is six now. And when she was a baby, it was very hard trying to sleep train her, because you had to hold her and you had to... like, be moving, like, walk around doing the bounce thing and moving around and whatnot, because if you stopped, she would just scream and cry, and it was one of those, you have to learn to be a ninja things, because, you know, you hold her, you know, like you finally get into that rhythm where she calms down and she finally gets to sleep, and then you're like, okay, I have to put you in your crib.
So, bomb defusal mode.
I know. You have to move so slow and so gently to put them in the crib.
Yeah.
Because, like, the one wrong move, they wake back up, and that whole process starts right over again. Like, it's another hour of bobbing, weaving. And oh, my gosh. Yeah, but once she got to the point where she would actually fall asleep on her own, it was fantastic. Like, and then, you know, we had to start up again with the second one when, you know, we trained one and now we've got a new one to train, and, you know, we trained the second one and now we've got a third one to train. So,
yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
It'll get better.
Yeah. How old are your kids, Wes?
I've got an 8-year-old daughter and an almost 5-year-old son.
Okay. You're way past this.
So I'm past that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you got new challenges now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kid. Let's see, elementary school drama is a lot of fun. dealing with all those kinds of things, and yeah, my son's, like, learning, you know, not bad things from school, but just learning to be mischievous from other kids where he previously didn't, you know, express those types of behaviors. You're like, where did you get this? Why are you doing this? Like, what?
I remember when my oldest first started going to pre-K, she would come home and she would say things because, I mean, for the longest time, like, they're little parrots of you. You know, they say things you've said. Mm-hmm. They act like you act, that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, she said something. I'm like, what? Where did you get that? I didn't say anything like that before. Did you say anything like that? You know, talking to my wife. Did you say that? No, I didn't say anything. She must have got it from school. And realizing, like, we've reached that transition point where, like, they're learning from other people now, not just us. And that is terrifying.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, I remember when I first found your page on Instagram, I was scrolling through your feed. I can't remember what post. Somebody, like, shared something that you made or whatnot. And I remember going and seeing your post on Instagram and seeing the it wasn't a baby Bjorn. Whatever the wraparound was that you were working at the desk.
Oh, that. I just forgot what they're called. Yeah, yeah, like the carrier thing.
Yeah,
right?
The little carrier.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm very encouraged by dads being good dads and like examples of dads being good dads. And I saw that. I'm like, yeah, I need to follow this guy. And it's that, like, did you have any like contact or anything with that company that the little wrap or whatever it is?
Well, they like, they shared my photo, a lot. they share a lot of, photos of people, just parents using their products. But no, I'm not sponsored by them or working with them. But yeah. Yeah.
It's convenient for using a table saw. Like, I could see it. Lawyers cringing.
I was like, because the only thing he needs is like little baby earmuffs. Yeah. And so it's like you're wearing earmuffs and you're wearing earmuffs working in the shop. I'm like, that'd be fantastic. But I don't think they make baby earmuffs.
Oh, they actually do. They actually do. Yeah. Yeah. Because when we went, we flew with him to China, right? So we started looking at, you know, what should we bring, you know, things like that. There was one that's actually like a baby earmuff for on the airplane. And I guess babies wear it for like if they go to see fireworks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. Like when I tried putting it on, like it blocks everything out, but I can hear people talking. It was weird.
I need to find this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll message you what it is when I find it. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, my kid didn't wear it. He didn't like it on his head, but yeah, it was interesting. I guess I think I've seen like military people use it before, like when they're firing guns, but they can still hear commands and stuff. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but yeah,
that's cool. So, like, in terms of being a dad, like, do you see yourself, like, making stuff in the shop with your son or just making things for your son? Or are you going to try and integrate him into, you know, your woodworking?
I mean, this channel definitely started with me making stuff for him. The crib was the first thing.
The changing table.
And the crib and the changing table, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. At the time, I was just filming me making a crib just as something to show him when he grows up. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was in this like online Facebook woodworking class sort of thing. But I didn't make anything from that class. But I started sharing like photos of my process. I was like, hey, look, this is what I'm doing now. And people are like, oh, this is cool. Like, I want to see the full thing, like the full build. I was like, okay. So I started sharing it. Yeah, I created this. Well, that was even before I created this woodworking Instagram page. And then I think it was after my kid was born. Like I started liking woodworking even more. I started talking to Chris Salamone. I was like, "Hey, dude, like, how much do you make like doing this thing?" So it was cool talking to him. He's like really straightforward and basically gave me the numbers. He's like, you know, like this is how much I make, and it was pretty encouraging. He just helped me basically start the channel. Like once I uploaded that video, well, he actually wanted to watch the video first, give me some pointers, which I did. And then once I uploaded the video, he shared it on his Instagram page, nice. Got me my first 300 subscribers. Yeah, and
maybe that's where I saw it.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. Yeah, so, yeah, since then I just kept on doing it. I just found out I really like it because I really like filmmaking. Filming myself was something new, kind of. And I like woodworking, and I found something that I could, like, really keep going with, I guess.
Okay. Please say that you've had experience filmmaking and you know what you're doing, because your videos look fantastic and the production quality is fantastic. And if you have never done this before, I'm going to feel so ashamed of my own work. Like, have you done like filmmaking or video editing or anything like that before you started making YouTube videos?
Yeah, I've done wedding videos before.
Mm.
But that wasn't really... I love the filming part. I've done video or wedding photography. I love the photography part, but I'm a very introverted person actually, and that just wasn't jiving with me. Like it didn't go with my personality. Because as a wedding filmmaker or photographer, you got to be the one that's always the most energetic. Like even when all the guests are tired, you can't be tired because then you're gonna get some really crappy footage. So I couldn't do that. Like it was so draining. So I stopped. I've tried the whole travel vlogging stuff. Yeah, that was awkward. Like just holding a camera everywhere you go, talking. I could not do it. So I always liked filming. Like when I take my dog to the park and stuff, I like. Take my camera with me. So yeah, I always liked filmmaking, but I couldn't figure out what am I going to use it for, because I didn't like anything that was paying me to film. So
right.
When I started making the crib, I started taking pictures of my process, taking videos. I was like, oh, this is great. Yeah,
that's cool. I'm glad you have experience.
How did you settle on the name Bevelish Creations?
That took like 5 minutes. Because right before, when I made that crib, and then I gave the video, I sent the video to Chris to check out, and I was like, oh, you know, and at the time I started listening to some other podcasts like Made for Profit, and they were talking about Instagram, YouTube. I was like, okay, I feel like I need to start my own Instagram. And then at the time, like, Chris was done with reviewing my video, he's like, oh, this is great, just start uploading it. I was like, okay, I don't want to upload it with my own like YouTube channel where I like didn't really have anything on there, and then my own like personal Instagram where my name, like, it's got numbers in it. Like if I told people what it is, I had to spell it out for them. So I just like randomly, like 5 minutes before I uploaded that video, I like made up that name because I like bevels. And that
makes sense.
And I just randomly came up with a logo. Like I drew a triangle. I was like, oh, it's not going to really go anywhere. I'm just going to, you know, like, it's just somewhere I can keep my woodworking stuff. And I didn't realize that, like, now I'm
stuck
spending all of my time on that. Yeah.
It's not going to go anywhere, he says. And then he blinks and has 6,000 subscribers.
I wasn't really expecting that.
That's kind of cool. I mean, it's, I envy that process. Or people that can do that process that easily, because my problem is I overthink it. Like it took me months to transition from, well, to initially come up with the Beardless Man, which used to be my logo and name, and then it took me months after that to transition from the Beardless Man to Once Upon a Workbench, Like, I'm glad I did it and I like where I'm at right now, but man, if I could have done all that in 5 minutes, it would have saved me so much time.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you started, like, you really wanted to get into this, right? Like, a lot. Because at the time, I was like, I don't think this is good. I'm just going to make an account where I can keep track of this stuff that I'm making. And if people watch it, cool. If not, you know, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
That was kind of my intention as well at the beginning. To have, like, just like an archive.
Yeah.
Kind of idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but now, like, I feel like I'm always thinking about what do I want to build next, and yeah, taking it a lot more serious. Yeah,
that's cool. So now that you have that in mind, like, what do you see as your trajectory for, like, your YouTube channel and your projects? I mean, are you gonna keep doing furniture? Are you gonna, like, branch out into other stuff? Are you gonna, like, do you have a goal now to kind of do this full time, kind of like Chris Alimony, where, you know, you quit your day job and just be a content creator? Or?
Yeah, I talked to my wife about this. I told her to give me 3 years to see where this takes me, because I don't want to just, like, right, once I reach 5,000 something and then just quit.
Premature, yeah.
Yeah, because we got a kid now. Like, I want to be responsible for that. And the thing is, like, with the job I have right now, I design cars for Honda, and that's my day job.
Nice.
Engineering design, not, like, actual how it looks.
But, okay.
Please bring back the element.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I drive an element.
Yeah, I hear a lot of makers like it, but, like, it wasn't selling. Like, nobody was buying it.
They started that whole trend of, like, the boxy trucks, and, like, all the other companies are like, oh, let's do that, and they're still doing their thing. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny, where I live, like, an element gets posted on, you know, whatever, Facebook or Craigslist or whatever. It's usually gone within, like, a day.
Oh, wow.
They're hard to find.
You can't. I've wanted to buy one so bad.
Like, I think they were ahead of the curve initially. I think they sold themselves short a little bit.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Anyways,
we had, like, the Nissan Cube and
I'm
all
sorry
those.
For the interruption. I just,
yeah, you're probably right.
I wanted to put it out there that you can talk to whoever to just say, hey, there's interest out there for people wanting elements.
Yeah, yeah. I recently heard on another podcast, some guy said that he uses an element. I don't remember which one, but
that was Paul Jackman.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which podcast was? Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we had another guest on here that has an element as well, and she loves that thing. She like themed it to look like references from The Fifth Element. So she, like, put the word fifth in front of it, and there's, like, the lights and stuff in the back and all that. It's nuts. It's just like their Facebook page is just like a dagger in the side, because they would, like, post, even they would still post stuff like the Honda Element Facebook page. They'd post things like, oh, you know, take your dog, you know, all these, like, things like they used to post originally, like, take your dog on an adventure and, like, go camping and all these things. And we're just like, stop torturing us. Bring it, you know, why are you doing this? Putting salt in the wound. Like, who are you advertising to now? Why are you posting this?
I really had no idea that people were still wanting that car.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good to know. Yeah.
8 years later, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Once mine dies, I'm buying another one. For sure.
Yeah. Once my current car dies, I'm getting an element.
What do you guys drive now?
I drive a Hyundai SUV.
Okay.
And a van. I made the switch. I'm a family man now. I drive a van. But that being said, the greatest family vehicle ever made. It's a Honda Odyssey, and it is, oh my gosh, like, it is life-changing. How cool of a it's the right tool for the job when you have kids. Yeah. I can go from the front of the car to the back of the car without getting out of the car. Like, I have access to children and things move around, and, like, we can it's just fantastic. We just went on a trip to to Kansas City for the weekend. And I'm just like, we cannot have as good a time in any other car than this car.
Yeah,
that's good to know. Is it a newer one or an older one? Like, the newer ones have the vacuum in the back. Is it one of those?
No,
or?
It's not. It's a 14.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, fantastic. I still want an Element. The Element is going to be my car, and then we'll have the van as the family car.
Yeah, I have an 06 Element. And when that, like I said, when that thing dies, I'm getting a new one. And another one. I don't care if they don't make them or not. But my wife, she had a Civic before, and then she's got a Pilot now, a 16, I think. 2016 Pilot. So we're a Honda family for sure.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I designed part of the Pilot.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Hopefully it's not the in-dash now entertainment thing, because that thing is junk.
Yeah, that's not mine. I designed the structure of it.
Okay,
like,
good.
The steel frame and yeah. Making sure people don't die in a crash that's what I do.
That's important.
So you're an engineer.
I am an engineer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so, like, I think like engineering is a good background for getting into being a maker, honestly.
Yeah, it definitely helped. Yeah, just because I sit in front of a computer and draw stuff on CAD all day. And so it was really easy for me to just pick up SketchUp and just start drawing whatever I wanted. Yeah. Yeah, so I think
Fusion, then, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I haven't touched Fusion yet, but it should be pretty simple to pick up. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, having this background definitely helps. Like, just envisioning how I'm going to use a piece of furniture. Definitely helps. Forgot what we were talking about before we got on this.
Sorry, I rudely interrupted you.
No, that's good. If you weren't going to say that, I was. That was the next thing coming out of my mouth.
Honda Element.
I got a bone to pick with you. No. Person that has no say in that area.
So, maker, dad.
Yep.
Is being a geek something that you have been since childhood, or is that like a recent development? Or
I think it's more recent. Yeah, because when I was little, we didn't really have a whole lot of money. I didn't have video games or I didn't read comics or anything like that. So I can't really remember. I guess I had my first video game system like when the PS3 came out, and that's kind of when I started getting into the more geeky stuff. So. It definitely wasn't when I was a kid.
That's all right.
I wish I did. Yeah. Like, I wish I played.
Everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, your Funko Pop collection, how did that start? And is it complete?
No, it's definitely not complete. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to remember which one, like, how I got started with it.
Because is that the only, like, geeky thing you collect? I mean, some people, like, you know, collect comic books or, you know, IP paraphernalia or anything like that. But you have, what, 3 cases, it looks like?
Yeah.
Of Funko Pop?
Yeah, I took some out, and they're, like, in miscellaneous rooms upstairs. I think I started with the Harry Potter ones. Like, once I bought a couple, they were on sale at Target, like in a bin, like for $4 or $3. So I bought a couple, and then I was like, oh, I want more. It's unstoppable. Like, once you start buying these, and they keep coming out with them, even though the the Harry Potter series are over. They just keep coming out with them, and they're like on their like sixth or seventh like release of these Funko Pops. They just keep coming out with new characters, and now that they got the Fantastic Beasts series, and then all the Star Wars, like they don't stop, like Star Wars,
Marvel, yeah, DC. Stranger Things,
yeah, like Naruto. Yeah, it doesn't stop. Don't get into these. Like, it's super hard. If it wasn't, I had to stop just because of woodworking, because I was on eBay, like, buying some really expensive ones, too. Like, I got some...
What's the most expensive one that you've bought so far?
I'm not even sure. I don't remember the prices.
He blocks it out. That's when you know you have a problem.
Yeah. I think it was over $100. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there are some Dragon Ball Z ones that are over $2,000.
What?
It's crazy. Yeah. Whoa. I mean, people buy these and resell them like they do with tennis shoes, or I mean basketball shoes, or like shoes, basically, like Nike.
Or Amiibos, or
yeah.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I knew it was something I definitely had to cut out of my life once I started woodworking. I mean, woodworking's not cheap. At first, I thought, oh, DIY, that sounds cheap.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's not.
Well, speaking of which, like, what is your favorite? Because you work primarily with wood, but do you have like a favorite or a favorite species, or you know, that you like to work with?
Definitely walnut. It's they're pretty easy to work with, and I really like the grain. So yeah, it's definitely walnut, and I do plan on like this year. I do plan on doing some like concrete stuff, like the stuff that Modustrial Maker he makes. Yeah, and I think the concrete stuff and walnut, it's such a like the contrast. That's something I really want to work on this year. Maybe next year I'll start on some like welding.
Yeah. Binueta has a lot of good stuff in that.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's cool, man. What have you guys been geeking out about this week? Anything pop culture-y that strikes your fancy or that you're kind of getting excited over?
I'm still waiting for Last of Us 2 to come out. I really want to play that. Yeah, I just love the first one. I'm a big Naughty Dog fan. The Uncharted series, yeah. Yeah. When I play video games, I like the ones with really good storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those are fantastic games.
Yeah.
I'm geeking out about announcements that Borderlands 3 is officially being released. And I think that's fantastic. I love the Borderlands series. Yeah. I remember playing the first game like hours. Like it was one of the, I don't typically like stay up to play games and I very rarely like stay up all night playing a game. Wow. And then go. But I remember getting the first game and a friend of mine and I literally just playing and playing because we couldn't stop because we were so blown away at like how artistically cool this game looked. And the cel shading was just fantastic and the rendering and the humor, the witty humor throughout that game was fantastic. And then the second one was even better. The spinoffs have been kind of hit and miss, but I'm thoroughly excited for Borderlands 3.
No, I haven't played the Borderlands games.
Yeah.
Definitely want to try that.
One of my first projects that I wanted to make was to retrofit my desktop computer to make it look like a Borderlands crate, which I still want to do. That's part of my list of things that I want to do. And I want to make a claptrap I don't know, maybe like a trash can or something like that. But he's like motion activated, so he like opens his lid, because we have like this little motion activated trash can in our kitchen. So, you know, you wave your hand and the little, you know, the lid comes up. I'm like, man, it'd be cool to have like a claptrap that'll talk
sayings,
to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll like say his little claptrap sayings, you know, and his little lid comes up and you just throw trash into him. I was like, that'd be fantastic. That, again, is on the list of projects.
Yeah.
Of projects that I want to do.
That'd
so
be fun.
But yeah, I'm geeking out about that announcement. And I kind of want to go back and play Borderlands 2, because I've only beat it with one character, and now I want to try doing it again with a different character, because there's different classes of characters and abilities and everything like that. And so, yeah.
How do you find time for video games?
I don't. having kids definitely like changes things. So it's a, I don't know, maybe an hour a week. Mm-hmm. It's usually, specific to my situation, my son and I have time every Friday where we just have boy time, and the majority of the time he wants to play video games, because, you know, he likes playing his video games, and sometimes we'll play like my video games together. So it's basically during boy time in our house that's my time to play video games.
Yeah, I guess maybe when my kid's older I can play video games with him.
Yeah. Or like when everybody in the house is finally all asleep, then I could have time to play video games. But the problem with that is that I'm usually like, man, I need to make something.
Yep.
Or I'm just so dead tired that I'm like, I don't want to stay up. I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's kind of what I'm trying to do now. Like, when my wife and kid are asleep, that's when I start, like, getting in the shop maybe for a couple hours, just make something. Yeah.
I mean, there are times when I'm just like, man, I just need to, like, play a game and just not do anything else right now.
Yeah.
But most of the time, yeah, just during boy time.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, right now I'm also just binging Game of Thrones, because I'm trying to rewatch everything before the eighth season comes back. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen Game of Thrones, so.
Oh, really?
But I'll probably do a Game of Thrones project. It's kind of funny. Most of my projects have revolved around Breath of the Wild, which I have never played.
Oh, really? Wait, how do you want to build these projects when you haven't, like?
I love Legend of Zelda, I do, but I don't have a Switch, so the only exposure to Breath of the Wild that I have is going to Target and playing the demo on that little TV. One day I will play Breath of the Wild and probably get like 15 more project ideas of stuff I want to do, but it's. It's kind of like Wind Waker, where it's so iconic that there's so many ideas that you could implement into a project to make it look specific.
Just the visual style. Yeah.
Like somebody can look at it and be like, oh, that's Breath of the Wild. Not, hey, that's Legend of Zelda. They know specifically, hey, that's Breath of the Wild, or that's Wind Waker, or that's Twilight Princess. And Breath of the Wild, it was new and relevant enough that I'm like, hey, I want to make projects, you know, around this.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Wes? What are you geeking out about?
I stumbled on this one guy's channel. I don't know where he got the name from, but it's called, his channel's called Veg Oil Guy. Very weird.
Okay.
But he has a lot of like casting and 3D printing projects, and he did one where he's casting car emblems that are created with a 3D printer. And he's doing what's called like the lost PLA method, which is similar to like lost wax casting, where you have the object is traditionally in wax, and you put like a sand or a plaster material around it, and then you cook it in an oven or some other process, and or pour the liquid metal in, and it vaporizes the previous content, and it fills it. Yeah, either leaves a chamber so you can pour metal into, or the metal fills in as it melts the other stuff away. You might, the King of Random has done it for like styrofoam objects as well. But he did one with 3D printed objects, and the detail he's able to get out of it, you can even see like the print lines and everything like in the final object. And he's doing it with like interesting ways. He's using like a sprue, kind of like a model making. So he's like got one area. He made like a tree of it. So he's got like a central column that he pours the metal into, the liquid metal. But then he's got all the different things coming off of it, kind of like a upside down like Christmas tree. So all the metal's going into the different things. He's like casting like six things or 12 things at one time. And like popping it out and breaking it apart, kind of like a little model kit. And they're like these, he's using aluminum and like copper and all these crazy things. He even hooked up a vacuum to this method. So it like, it's crazy. So you should just check it out for sure. Called Veg Oil Guy.
Veg Oil Guy.
Yeah.
I can't forget that name.
I don't know. It's interesting. He's done a lot of lost PLA casting of different. Material or different objects. He did some Red Dead Redemption 2 objects, some other random casting related things, but it's interesting. It's definitely worth checking out.
Well, cool. So, is it my turn?
It's your turn, sir.
For the Astro?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was going to be prepared for this. So if you want to get a hold of us on social medias, the Making Geeks podcast can be found on YouTube here at the Making Geeks podcast. We do have an Instagram that we don't post to, but you can follow us there if you are so inclined to follow accounts that aren't active.
We're going to get better.
We are. Individually, you can find Alex over at Bevelish Creations on Instagram and YouTube and other.
That's it. Well, I mean, I have a Facebook, but I don't really post on it.
Okay.
It's just a repost of my Instagram, basically.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yep. Wes can be found over at Geeksmithing on Instagram and in YouTube. And then I can be found at Once Upon a Workbench on Instagram and YouTube.
And we'd like to give a shout out to our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks for keeping us on the air with their financial contributions. And we'd like to thank our top patron from C3D Prop Shop. Thank you so much. And all of our other patrons, thank you guys for your support. And we would like to thank everyone for tuning in this week. It's been an interesting episode having a guest substitute for two of our normal members, so you're pulling the weight for two normal members. See, I think you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Alex, it was good to meet you.
Thank you for having me, guys.
As always, you can find our episodes of the Making Geeks podcast on any of your favorite podcast players or even on our website at makinggeeks.com. So that wraps it up. I think it was a good show. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
For your first podcast?
Yeah, that was fun. A lot better than I thought.
Awesome.
A lot less awkward than I thought I would be.
It's good to hear.
Good. Hopefully we've spoiled you for any future podcasts that you are going to be on because of all the amazing things that you've created and are about to create. So.
And also a shout out to our YouTube audience watching us live stream this episode. Just head over to YouTube and look up Making Geeks and you'll find us. And we'll see you next Saturday with our next episode, where we'll have our full complement of hosts back in their chairs.
And until then, have a good evening.
See you.
Bye. See you guys.